They shall make an ark. Exodus 25 and verse 10. This is probably the most important chapter in the writings of Moses. God had redeemed Israel from bondage in Egypt and in the ways of grace, had gathered them to be his people by covenant relationship. The Lord now looked for an affectionate response to himself from his redeemed people. They are to bring an offering, which suggests a most energetic response. They were to build God a sanctuary that he might dwell among them. Chapter 25, verse 8. The materials required are listed in verses 3 to 7. And there is rich symbolism in these materials. All spoke of Christ in his person and work. And each of the redeemed had to make this willing offering as an appreciation for his redemption. All offerings were to come out of their affections as an expression of gratitude. It was therefore a spiritual house, all the materials, and each and every part of it spoke of Christ. The building of it, according to God's instructions given to Moses, was to be an expression of their spiritual apprehension and appreciation of their Savior. Each had to contribute, but all was to be brought to a corporate and unified whole. The first command was the construction of the ark. This was to be a distinctive type of Christ. For this the ark, the tabernacle, was built. It was the most treasured thing in the hallowed building. All that concerned God was to be secured in his beloved Son. And all that was ruined in God's universe was to be recovered and restored in and through him. The ark takes precedence then, for God would have all it represented of his Son enshrined in the first place of the affections of his people. During the wilderness wanderings, it was known as the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of Testimony, a testimony amidst the barren world around them. The ark was a chest to put things into, and into which were put the two tables of stone on which the law was written. It was a very eminent type of Christ, therefore, with whom the name of an ark or chest where treasure lies agrees. For the treasure of wisdom and knowledge and the riches of grace and all the fullness of God lie in Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is therefore called the Ark of God, the Ark of His strength, the glory of God, the face of God, even God Himself, the Holy Ark, the Ark of the Covenant. The substance of the Ark was acacia or shittim wood. This is an incorruptible wood, a wood that rots not, and which sets forth our Lord's incomparable and incorruptible humanity, and exhibited his kinship with our race. Acacia wood was no common wood. It was not subject to decay, and thus pictured our Lord's undefilable humanity, that in his human nature he saw no corruption, and that in his offices as mediator, redeemer, savior, prophet, priest, and king, he lives and abides forever. There is and can be no rot in any of his offices. But the ark was more than wood. The ark was covered with pure gold within and without. This speaks of the Lord's deity, for the Savior of men is the mighty God. Nothing of the wood could be seen, and this golden surface denotes the glory of God in both his natures. which are unsearchable and durable, and his preciousness to those who believe. The Song of Songs 5 and 10. It was pure gold, without any alloy or any mixture in it, and so denotes the purity of our Lord's righteousness and sacrifice. Were he not so, the living God, his merit would have no worth. His wounds, his blood, his agony, and his death would be valueless to redeem. Thus we see the wood and gold, a figure of man conjoined to deity, the God-man, all that God is, embodied in man. There was a crown of gold round about, Exodus 25 and verse 11, this pointed to his kingship. He is the Father's appointed king, Psalm 26, Revelation 19 and verse 6. And though crowned with thorns by wicked men, yet crowned with glory and honor by the Father, and with a crown of divine glory. The ark was made to hold a rich treasure. The first set of tables of the moral law given by God was smashed by Moses, for when he came down from the mountain and saw the wickedness of the people, he realized that all parts of the law were already broken by them. The second set was placed in the ark, and not one part was ever broken by him whom the ark represented, Christ our Lord. Then also the golden pot of manna was laid up in the ark, which declared Christ to be the true manna of his people, the bread of life, John 6, 32 to 33. Aaron's budded rod was also in the ark, which spoke of Christ as God's chosen and true high priest, Hebrews 7, verses 3 and 17. Then we know that the ark was covered with a lid of solid gold. It was a covering. And the root of this word is one from, in one form, means to make atonement or propitiation. Hebrews 9 and verse 5. It was typical of Christ as the mercy seat, or the throne of grace. The mercy of God is displayed in the mission of his beloved Son, and through him, God's grace is communicated to sinful men. Christ is our covering, the covering of all his people, covering us all by his righteousness imputed to us, and by the blood sprinkled upon us. Such covering hid the law from every eye. The law carried a curse upon all who broke it. But the Lord Jesus covered all its terrible demands and spread himself as a satisfaction over it. He covered all claims against us. The lid had a special name. It was called the mercy seat. It was of pure gold, since mercy is wholly a divine attribute. It is such mercy which shelters when the sinner is overwhelmed with his sin and filled with terror and dismay. Divine mercy day. As the ark supported the mercy seat, so did Christ support God's mercy in the way of righteousness. It is through his death that he becomes our mercy seat. Romans 3, 24 to 26. God is able to be merciful to sinners because of our Lord's total righteousness. The two cherubs, one on either side of the mercy seat, were of the same piece of gold as the ark, and they covered it with wings. All God's rights in being merciful are protected by his own attributes. Their outspread wings, too, spoke of the readiness of divine mercy to spread its gracious message to every place. And if their eyes looked downward, it was only to be absorbed with the beauties and excellencies of Christ as the Ark of the Testimony. a gracious promise was given by God concerning the ark. There I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. Exodus 25:22. Thus the place is fixed where man can meet with God, which is only in Christ. If we come to God in Christ, then God will draw near unto us. The ark had staves, Exodus 15:13. By these it was borne by the priest. Everything that is of God in Christ has to be carried in testimony through this wilderness world. From time to time it found a resting place for the Lord's people, as we find here and now in Christ when we meet in the assembly of saints. Oh, let not the ark speak in vain. Obed-Edom was blessed for retaining it. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 11. When we come to the waters of Jordan, symbol of death, the ark, which is Christ, will lead us through to the land of heavenly rest. Now listen to the words of Mr. Alabin, incarnate words of God over all, compassion's depth in thee that dwell, move thee to call from creature fall, our guilty soul, Emmanuel. Eternal fragrance fills the scene, eternal glories cast their spell, where thou once slain to rend our chains, didst love unveil, Emmanuel. The cost, the cry from Calvary's gloom, God's face averted whilst the knell of soundless doom, the curse, the tomb, tolled through thy soul, Emmanuel. Now love and light divinely bright shine forth forever to dispel the glooms of night and thrill our sight with beauty thine, Emmanuel. Beautiful. Amen. And amen.